Just north of San Francisco in the rolling hills of Marin, the Cowgirls make some of the finest farmstead cheeses in the United States. Between them, Cowgirl Creamery co-founder Sue Connolly and Peggy Smith have spent decades in the Bay Area's most loved and respected restaurants. Now in their new book, Cowgirl Creamery Cooks, they share their story of the Cowgirls, which is also the story of the rise of the organic food movement and the creation of an artisanal creamery. It's a primer on tasting, buying, storing, pairing, and appreciating all kinds of cheese that make this great fun for a cheese lover. And it's a wonderful pleasure to welcome Peggy Smith to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So how many years ago did this journey start for you?
Well, Sue and I opened our creamery in 1997, so... But we've been working in the food scene since, I don't even know if I want to say.
So what was it that brought you to cheese? What is it that you ultimately wanted to conquer and do differently?
Well, it was exciting to just work with one single ingredient and to try and make something that Sue and I both really like a lot, cheese. And then we were able to work with Albert Strauss's delicious milk, and he had just opened an organic creamery after he transitioned his family's dairy. So that was a good challenge.
Your background comes from being a chef. You had worked at Chez Panisse for a long time. And this was, so a lot of your, I guess, philosophy comes from that background, right?
It does. You know, that both Sue and I worked in Sue owned a restaurant, Betty's, with her partners, Betty and Manfred, and we both worked in an environment that had the same philosophy of looking for really great ingredients, working closely with the producers, and trying not to do too much to the ingredient itself, but just reflect all its virtues in cooking or in cheese.
When it comes to a project like this, are you encouraging people, and I realize the answer is probably both, but are you encouraging people to understand and appreciate cheese, or do you really want people to get involved in making their own?
I think that it would be that we'd like people to just think about what they're eating. I don't know if I would encourage people to get into cheese making, but we're always happy when they do, and they do a great job. But mostly it's just thinking about what you eat.
And when it comes to cheese, there is such variety, and there is such a variety of flavor and of experience and need and want. So much like wine or other complex foods, it's often difficult to explain because it's not just one thing.
Right. That's true. I mean, if you look at all the new cheeses that are being made in the United States, it's hard to think of how you want to categorize them because they break out of the European mold a little bit.
So how did you come to a way of explaining it to people and understanding yourself and explaining it to others and educating people as to the varieties and the wonders of cheese, if you will?
Well, we try and do it in the easiest way possible, and that's just by having a cheese shop, a couple of cheese shops that reflect all the varieties of cheeses that are being made in the U.S., and we do work with some people that bring in really great cheeses from the British Isles and France and Italy, Spain. So we have quite a collection of cheeses that we offer in our shop.
When you look at the book, you have so many different types. You talk about the cheese course. How important is that cheese course, do you think?
Well, of course, we think it's important, but It hasn't been a common occurrence for people to have cheese courses at their meals until lately, I'd say. But it's kind of a fun way to express what's happening in food in the U.S. because you can see how creative some of the new cheesemakers are, and you can also showcase how great some of the older cheesemakers are. But it's fun. It's like exploring craft beers or wines, charcuterie. I think all these areas of food creation have really exploded in the United States, and it's just fun to showcase them.
And in the book, you talk, especially in, well, in all of the chapters, but in that chapter of looking at a cheese course, that there is pairing going on with roasted figs or seasoned olives, that combination can be so special.
That can be. That's sort of what we were trying to talk about in that chapter, was developing a, this sounds really crazy, but developing a point of view for your cheese course, and the accompaniments that you bring in can either highlight a flavor that's really found in the cheese, or it can be a little bit of the opposite of what's found in the cheese, and it brings new flavors when you're eating, and it's just kind of fun to explore food that way.
What do you think, when we consider this holiday season and we think of the possibilities of cheese, when you write in the book about a brie or a camembert or any number of other cheeses, blue cheese, how do we know, because there's so many varieties within just those names, what should we be looking for to know that that particular cheese is appropriate and is what we want to eat?
Well, what we recommend is that you go to a shop that has a cheesemonger so that you can taste the cheese prior to buying it. And having that flavor, knowing the flavor that you're buying prior to is really fun, because then you can go off in different directions. I think it's really important to buy cheese from a knowledgeable person, because it is a food that changes rapidly once it's cut, and even from wheel to wheel the flavors change. So it's always good to be able to taste before you buy.
When you think of something like a brie, there's a million different tastes, right? All bries are not created equal.
That's right. And every cheesemaker has a little bit different twist on how they make cheese. And you can use the exact same ingredients. And the environment does play an important role in the outcome. But it's just like the way everybody makes cakes. They all will come out a little bit differently. So cheese may be a little sweeter, some may be a little nuttier, some may be a little harder, but they all have the same four basic ingredients, and that's milk, salt, a coagulant, and then the cultures that go into the recipe.
It is interesting to note in the book of geography plays a part of this. I mean, obviously around here, we think a lot of cheddar, and there are a lot of wonderful dairy farms, especially in Vermont cheddar, that we are blessed with. So geography plays a role as well.
It does really play a strong role. And you can see that with mountain cheeses are usually big and heavy, and they age longer, and then cheeses that are made closer to the coast are usually fresher cheeses and will age much quicker. So the ambient temperature and the amount of salt in the air, all these things play a role into, number one, what cheese will be most successful in your environment, and number two, the flavors of the milk and the ambient temperature, et cetera. It all plays a role into the production of cheese and the outcome.
The name of the book is Cowgirl Creamery Cooks, and it's a beautiful volume that's published by Chronicle. Peggy Smith is a co-author along with Sue Conley. Peggy, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate it. Best of luck and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
A delight. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Cowgirl Creamery Cooks. It's by Sue Conley and Peggy Smith. It's published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.